Go for it, Ben. You guys are amazing. Oh, wonderful. My goodness, you look amazing. I believe God is ushering us into a season where the things in the Old Testament, the things that were like shadows, become such a reality that we live and we walk in it every single day. And let's see where we're at. If I can do this way, which way do I go? That way? Is there any? Hang on, I'll put it on. If I put it on, it works. There it is. Okay, let us pray. Father, I just thank you that you are the Spirit of revelation, Lord, that in the last days you said you're going to pour your Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters are going to prophesy, Lord. And Lord, that you're going to give us visions and dreams. And Lord, we've already heard about a man who has a vision and he's able to change a nation because of it. And Lord, today we pray, God, that we will have an open heart to receive from you, Father, a revelation that will bring transformation, Father, into our lives, into what we do. Take, Father, anything in our life that is the shadow, that we do things out of, obligation, or we do things that we don't understand. Lord, I pray today there will be a spirit of transformation, Father, through revelation, Lord God, that we will move from the shadow into the light, and that each one of us will actually understand the calling and the anointing and the appointment upon our lives. Father, today we want a movement. We want a shift. Father, every single person in this place, I speak to you prophetically that God is calling you to shift, to move from a shadow to a reality. There is going to come a season in your life where you're going to actually come against all the forms and the religious and all those things, but you need to shift, you need to move, and you need to press in to the things of the Spirit. You need to move into the things that God has, because it will unlock power in your life, and you will go from the mundane, you will go from the ordinary into the supernatural, and you will begin to see the frustrations of your walk in the life of the Spirit. You will see those things drop off, and you will walk into a new and living way, and you will actually experience the things that are manifest in heaven. Lord, pray this. He said, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. And everything about God and his word is about revealing heaven realities to us here on earth. And that is what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. He wants to take you from a place of shadows. I'm speaking to someone so clearly today. You've said, what am I doing this for? And I want to tell you, there is a spirit of lies, a spirit of disappointment and discouragement that has berated you and has followed you and has whispered in your ear. And you go, why am I doing this? This is nothing. I just feel like I'm not part of this and I'm not doing what God wants. And it is trying to persuade you to abort your mission. And God wants to tell you today, he's going to bring you out of the shadow and into the light. Amen. I believe it so prophetically today that God wants to shift every one of you. He wants to move you out of a form and out of things that you don't understand how to lock into the power. If you look in the Old Testament, you see there's a man called Moses, and he has an amazing relationship with God. And God meets him on a mountain, and he downloads to him everything about the tabernacle. How many here understand what I'm talking about? So God begins to come to a man and he downloads everything about how he is to instigate the tabernacle and the priesthood. And he says to him that he is to be very diligent to follow every single aspect of it. Every aspect of the tabernacle, every metal, every wood, every ring, every pole, every single thing about the tabernacle must be done according to a pattern. And what I love about it is when you look at the shadow, at the old, the shadow, you will see that there's a revelation that is being released in the heart of God. I just want to read Hebrews 8:1. Now this crowning point of what we are saying, we have a magnificent king priest who ministers for us at the right hand of God. He is enthroned with honor next to the throne of majesty on high. He serves in the holy sanctuary, in the true heavenly tabernacle, set up by God and not by men.
since every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, so the Messiah also had to bring some sacrifice. But since he didn't qualify to be an earthly priest, and there are already priests who offer sacrifices prescribed by the law, he offered in heaven a perfect sacrifice. And here's verse 5. The priests on earth serve in the temple, but it is a copy modeled after the heavenly sanctuary. It is a shadow of the reality. For when Moses began to construct the tabernacle, God warned him and said to him, "You must precisely follow the pattern that I revealed to you on Mount Sinai." So here the Lord is saying that the pattern is what? It is a pattern from heaven. It is not just an earthly. How many of us have gone to church all our life and we go, why do we do that? Why do we come and we sing? And why do we bring an offering? And why do we do communion? And, you know, and why do we do this? And why do we lay hands? And why do we do what we do? Because if you don't understand the shadow, if you don't sit in that and look at the shadow, you won't understand what is happening in heaven. It's actually heaven. You are looking into heaven. You are being shown what heaven is like. The priests on earth, they serve in the temple, but it is a copy modeled. So here, can you imagine Moses there? And God begins to download what heaven looks like. And he says, I want you to represent this exactly as I have spoken it to you. Precisely follow the pattern. Look at the pattern. Now, So we're on this side of the cross, but when we look at that shadow, there are certain things that we participate on this side, but many of us don't have the power or the knowledge to unlock it. And I just want to, today, my heart is that by the end of today, you're going to walk out of this room and you're going to unlock something in your life, okay? So remember this, anything isn't good enough. You can't just do anything. You have to understand the ways of God because they bring revelation and light. Okay, so here we go. Now Jesus, the Messiah, let's read on. Oh, I'll read on. Now Jesus, the Messiah, has accepted a priestly ministry which far surpasses theirs. He's a catalyst of a better covenant, which contains far more wonderful promises. So Jesus comes on the scene, and there's the tabernacle. He knows exactly what's going on, and he comes in, and he sees the offerings, and he sees everything that's going on. But he is a catalyst of a new and living way. He's going to come and he's going to shift the shadow and he's going to bring the revelation of God's heart to us. Let me just read verse 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, no one would have needed a second one to replace it. But God revealed the defect and the limitations of the first when he said to his people, "Look, the day will come, declares the Lord, when I will satisfy the people of Israel and Judah by giving them a new covenant." How many here? A part of this new covenant. We have a new covenant with our God. It will be an entirely different covenant, one than the one that was made with their fathers when I led them out by the hand of Egypt, for they did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I rejected them, says the Lord. For here is the covenant I will one day establish with the children, the people of Israel. I will embed my laws within their thoughts and fasten them to their hearts, and I will be their loyal God and they will be my loyal people. And the result of this will be that everyone will know me as Lord. There will be no need at all to teach their fellow citizens or brothers saying, "You should know the Lord Jehovah," for everyone will know me individually. So God prophesies to the children of Israel that he's going to do a new thing and he's going to have a new relationship and a new way of doing things. You've got to remember, every single Israelite from the day that they were born understands the process of going to the shadow. They understand that they come. They understand they bring their sacrifices. They come and they go through all of the emotions. And this is what the tabernacle... This is just a quick picture of the tabernacle that Moses was downloaded by God. And so there you can see there's a court, there's a court, and there was a curtain all the way around it. And there was a veil, an entrance there, and then you had the altar of burnt offering where all the animals would come and be sacrificed and the blood spilled. And then there was the bronze basin, and they say that the bronze basin was like a mirror, that as you looked into it and you washed yourself, it reflected your image, which is the same as the Word of God. So you have this beautiful basin that is reflecting your image, and which is really amazing. And then you have the door, and here's the door of the tabernacle of the presence. That room is called the presence. You encountered the presence when you walked in there. You would, as you walked in, you would see a lampstand. I'm not sure how big it is, but I've seen a menorah, and it's massive, and it was beaten out of gold. It was one piece, and inside of it had oil, and that oil had to burn 24 hours a day. And the priest's job would be to come, take the sacrifices, do the ritual cleansing and walk in. And as they came in, they were to tend to this lamp, and they were to make sure that the light never went out. Then there was we call the table of the presence, where they had 12 loaves of bread on this table. And it was, so the priest's duty was to make sure that bread was fresh every Sabbath, and then they could eat it. So the bread of his presence, that's why if you hear us talk about the bread of his presence, it's represented there by the table of showbread. Okay, so you have the menorah, the light. You have the table of showbread. You have the altar of incense. And this is where there was continuous fire. And then they had this incense that they made. It was a very special recipe. No one else was allowed to use this for anything. And it would be put onto the fire, and it would release a fragrance. And then you had a veil, a large veil, and then you entered into the holiest of holies, the holy of holies there, and only the priest, once the high priest, could go in there once a year. So Moses gets downloaded the tabernacle. He then gets downloaded the responsibility and role of all the priests. And it would have been amazing. So here you have these people who come out of slavery, and now for 400 years they carry this around, the pillar of fire by day and the cloud by night. So wherever the cloud or the fire went, the people went. If the cloud stayed still and the fire stayed, they would stay. So wherever God went, they followed, and then they pitched it. They pitched down the tabernacle, and there they worship. And every single day, the priests would be active in the tabernacle. You know, this was the tabernacle. When you start reading about it, it's quite fascinating. And do you know that it was portable? Like, this was portable. How many know that it takes a lot of effort to go around putting something like this up? But it's probably about the, it's about 45 foot by 15 foot and 15 foot high. So it's like a big rectangular tent or area. The most holy place was covered with different layers of covering, and the top one was made of badger and porpoise or a sea cow to make it waterproof. It also had goat's hair and linen and ram skin that was dyed red. The detail, every single aspect of the gold and everything was written down, and Moses was instructed to follow the approach. Every single thing. For 400 years they moved around and they carried this, and it was the center of the Israelite life. On the north, south, east and west, they would have all the people of Israel camped. And it was in the big shape of a cross, a big shape of a cross. And the very center was the tabernacle. Life centered around the life of the tabernacle. And there was probably about 603,000 people camped around it. So every time the cloud started moving,
They upped their tent and off they went. So that's 600,000 people, not including women and children, just the men, that began to move where the cloud went. And every piece of furniture, every article is a prophetic declaration of Christ to come and about us and about our priesthood. It was very, very expensive. It was very expensive to probably over $1 million just to build in those days this tabernacle. And the priest's life was dedicated to serving the Lord and representing the people before God. The design of the garments also, and I know Ted earlier this year, he talked about the garments and the stones and everything. And as you look into every part of the priest's garments, there's a story. There's a significance in the story. And, you know, God loved to be with his people and he loved to be the center of everything in them. So he created this incredible shadow to show us that he loves to be part of every single daily life. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself and I will rebuild you. He has such a desire to be part and the very center of our lives. I won't have time right now to unpack, but the priests themselves had an amazing responsibility of every single day coming in, bringing the sacrifices and bringing the offerings and coming in before the presence of God. And that in itself would have been the most amazing experience. With the layers that are over the temple, it would have been pitched black. You couldn't hear a thing. You were totally separated from the outside. So as you walk through that veil, the first purple line, as you walked in there, you would have encountered something so phenomenal. Because as you walked in there, the way that it was built was everything was overladen with gold. And every article was full of gold. And then you had the menorah, the light, which then illuminated. How many have seen gold when it shines? If you've been to Sovereign Hill, you go there and then they show you the light that is reflected from gold. It's quite magnificent. So from all the walls and even in the linen, in the cloths, there was gold embroidery. So there would have been a reflection. The moment you walk through those doors, it would have been like brilliant, luminous gold everywhere. As you walked into there, you would have seen the light and the candles. Then you would have seen the table with showbread. It would have been sparkling and radiant. And then the altar with the fire coming from it. And then the room would have this incredible smell of this beautiful incense. The incense stood right in front of the Holy of Holies. And it every once a year, the high priest would bring the blood in and then anoint the altar of incense, and then he would go in and pour the blood onto the Ark of the Covenant, which contained, at that point, only contained the Torah and some manna. And later on, a few chapters later, from this point that I want to share on, the staff with the budded staff was put in there as well, as a sign of the chosen priesthood. Okay, you can see this. I'm like sitting here so excited about this message because I've been sitting on it for such an amazing time. But it was amazing, the experience. They would have come in there, they would have encountered light. This light would have radiated from everything. Everything in this room was brilliant light. The cloud of God's presence would come and fill. There would be such, so there, here they are, they walk in and they encounter light. The fragrance of the incense, the glory cloud was there. The bread, the bread was supernaturally preserved in that room. Can you imagine putting a loaf of bread on a table for 7 days and it's as fresh as it came out of the oven? Absolutely amazing. That bread was supernaturally, the priest could go in there and eat that bread. It was supernaturally preserved. This is the bread of life, represents Christ. This is the bread from heaven, the one that sustains and fills. The light, the menorah, the light, the oil. How many have heard the the story about the virgins who keep their oils tended to. And so Jesus is referring to the story because they had to come and make sure the wicks were right and the oil was, it wasn't wax, it was oil. It was beautiful olive oil. They had to make sure it continuously glowed and shone. It was tended to. The incense was a holy recipe used in the tabernacle. It was the smell of sacrifice. Can you imagine being outside in the courtyard? You would have the sound of animals. You would have the slaughter yards happening. You would have, there would be a lot of stuff. You know, if you've ever been to an abattoir, it stinks, like it is foul. How many here know that? You know, you open up a fish or you open something up, an animal up, and you open it up, it's like gross. So can you imagine outside the smell of sacrifice, the smell of blood, the smell of innocence paying for the guilty. All of that's happening outside, but when the priests walked through that door, they were in another world. They were in light. There was no wind. There was no moisture. It was perfect. It shone. It illuminated. The presence was there. The heat was there. The oil was there. Everything in that room was magnificent. Everything. Outside was the smell of death. Outside was the smell of sacrifice. Inside was the smell of this incense and of this beautiful room. And it was a sweet aroma. The fire on the altar of incense never was to go out. And then you had these beautiful incense rocks they would put on, and the smoke would begin to fill the whole room. The whole room would just be filled with this aroma. There was warmth, there was light, there was heat. It was constant 24/7. They ministered to the Lord. The priesthood were anointed and appointed by God, and they ministered this every single day. Every day they would experience the difference from being outside, the sacrifice, the slaughter, the bulls and the sheep and all of the offerings and everything. Nothing could pay the price. But as they walked in, they were encountering the presence of God. And they came and they represented. So as they went to the light and they tended the light, then they went to the showbread table and ate the bread of life, received healing. Then they went to the altar of incense, and there they represented the people to God. They brought the praises and they brought the prayers to the people of God, to God. And on that, they would intercede and they would pray at the altar of incense. Constant ministry to the Lord. The service was a service of privilege and honor. A few chapters into the book of Numbers, there was a rebellion. The sons of Korah, they came up to Moses and Aaron and said, "Hey, you guys, who made you these amazing priests? We want to do that. We want to do that." And Moses was like, "Oh, guys, you don't get it. This is not me. This is God." And if you read it, there's an amazing story. I may, next time I share, go into it. But everything had to be done exactly the way God spoke it, because it's a prophetic declaration about you and I. This is about our life as priests unto God. Amen? And you know, there's no self-promotion in the priesthood. You cannot promote yourself into the role. It is illegal to promote yourself in the role. So as priests, these guys were serving for their God, and it was such an anointing. It was God's appointed, God's anointed, and God set them apart for this duty. Everyone had to look on. Everyone else had to stand outside the court, outside the tabernacle. They couldn't enter in. They could not be a part of it. It was illegal for them to be a part of it. And anybody who would go in and try and do it themselves, instantly they would be put to death. Instantly the judgment of God would fall on them. Two guys tried to put something on the altar of incense. They came to put something on, and God called it strange fire. And their lives was taken out. So it was a structure. It was something God was teaching the people of Israel. This is how you approach me. This is how you come. This is the ministry of the priesthood.
This is how you come to the altars. This is how you walk in. This is how you enter my presence. This is how you come in. You know, and I love it. As we come into the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he begins to prophesy. He begins to talk to each one of us. And he says that we have become the temple of God. So now what was made by God, by hands, now God has made us the temple and the priesthood. Listen to what Ephesians 2:20-22 says. You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple. So this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church. You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives are being built up together upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone, the building, and the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. Here the Apostle Paul begins to bring, you remember, they know all about the priesthood. They know all about the sacrifices. They know all about the roles and responsibility. And now Paul comes to the children of God and he says, now you are the temple and you are the priests. You are the ones. And that's a privilege. It's a privilege that you are a priest unto God. He is gathering us. He's building us. He's rising us up. He's perfectly fitting us together and building a place where his presence and glory is manifest in our lives on a daily basis. Every single day, we are being gathered together as his building. I think it's very powerful. Very, very powerful. And just sit there and you just meditate on that. We are not, and that's why as believers, we are not to forsake the gathering together, because we need one another as we gather together. It says in Hebrews, don't not come together. You need to come together. You need to gather together. This entire building is under construction and is continually growing under his supervision. I want to prophesy today that everything about your life is under the supervision of the Holy Spirit. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens in your life that God is not a part of and God doesn't know about. He is supervising you until you rise up as the holy temple of the Lord himself. This means that God is transforming each of you into the holies of holies, the dwelling place of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit is in you and he's building you, and you are carriers. We are literally taking the tabernacle, and you and I are walking around living tabernacles, living temples of the Holy Spirit. We carry the presence, the fragrance, the light. You are the light of the world. You are the salt. It's amazing. In the incense was salt. Salt's what made it burn. Oh, that was for free. Anyway. Okay. So you have a priestly function. You are a priest. You have a priestly function every single day as you rise up and you meet with your God. You have a priestly function. Say, I'm a priest. You are a privileged priest. You are a privileged priest. And together, we are the abode of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. We function and minister unto the Lord. We have to see our lives as priests unto the Lord. Oh, it's exciting. So exciting. You are the light of the world. And you eat the bread of his presence. And as you know that we've been doing, you know, a little bit different during communion. When I was in Israel, we sat down at the Sabbath and they brought a big loaf of bread out and a bottle of non-alcoholic Jerusalem wine. And we had communion together. And we just sat there, just went, it was so organic, you know, it was so tactile, it was so touch and feel. We had to break the bread and the Lord spoke to me and goes, I want you to go back to that. I want you to go back and do that. And I'm like, okay, how do we do this? You know, oh, H&S, nobody touches the food, you know, like, you know, so I just like, God, we need to revisit the table of showbread,
the bread of his presence. We need to draw. You know, as priests, we come in, and if we don't understand that we need the light, we need the Holy Spirit, we need to be baptized afresh in the Holy Spirit. We need to seek after the things of the Holy Spirit and keep the light and the fervor there, the passion for Jesus. We need to keep it burning, a light. We need to tend to the fervor of our heart. We need to keep the spirit life. The Apostle Jude, he says, you know, speaking in tongues, it builds you up. You've got to spend time with God. You've got to start praying more. You've got to start interceding and speaking in tongues. You've got to burn, you know, keep the fire. But also we need to come to the table of presence, the table of where we encounter healing. We need to come and understand unlocking the truth and bring transformation. And the Lord's began to speak to me about the altar of incense, that the priests would come to the altar of incense and they would offer up prayer. They would begin to offer up the prayers of the people and the praise. If I can get the ushers just to hand one of these prayer praise cards out to every single person here. So I'm gonna actually do this today. I'm going to bring right to the front right now and illuminate the whole area of prayer and praise. Why do we have prayer cards? Okay, we can just think you have prayer cards. Oh, if you have a prayer request, you can write it down and somebody will pray for you. But what we don't understand, let's just enter into the tabernacle, right? The priests come in into the fragrance of the incense. They come in and they enter in. They've encountered the presence. They've encountered the fire. They come up to, and before the altar, there's fire there, and they put the incense in. And we're thinking, what's this incense stuff? Okay, so I'm going to teach you right now what this is all about. So let me have a look. What is the incense? Let's have a look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And when the Lamb, now, we know that John had an encounter with heaven, didn't he? He goes up and he begins to see what's going on in heaven. Everybody know that? The revelation of heaven, right? He comes up. He's up now in the tabernacle. Okay, remember, Moses gets the download. John's up there now going, oh my goodness. The Lamb is on the throne. The Ark of the Covenant, remember that picture? The Ark is there. On the veil was torn, Jesus tore. Now what is directly in front of the throne? The altar of incense. Now, have I transported you to heaven? So now, here's the Apostle John. He's sitting there and he's saying what he sees. And when the Lamb took the scroll, the four living beings, whatever they are, I don't know, but, and the 24 elders, we know what that is. They all fell down before the Lamb, and each one had a harp, and they held a golden bowls filled with incense. What is the incense? It tells you which are the prayers of God's people. Where are your prayers? Every prayer you've ever prayed, where is it? Where is it? It has to be somewhere. Words are life, words are living, words are creative. You speak something, remember? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So your prayers are somewhere. Where are they? Where are your prayers? The high priest, King Jesus, comes in and he takes all of your prayers, and now they are in heaven. So they're in heaven before the Lamb, before your prayers have ascended. The presence has taken them before the Lamb, before the Lamb. Your prayers, just listen. Your prayers from the day you could pray are in heaven. Every one of your prayers, every one of your cries, every one of your sighs, every prayer is ascended as incense before the Father, right in front of the throne. Now what happens? What happens now? So the
there, but then what happens? How many here want to pray just a little bit more? I'm like, okay, I want to pray a little bit more. Here, the angels are holding these golden bowls full of the prayers of God's people. Your prayers, the angels are holding them before God. Now what happens? Let's stay with me. We're coming in for a landing. Revelations 8, 3 and 4. It goes on to 5. Then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar. There's a lot of activity in heaven. And a great amount of incense was given him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. Remember, the altar, the gold altar that Moses established here on earth was a shadow of the real. This is a shadow, you know, a shadow. But you are now encountering the reality that your prayers are there. Now God mixes, gets the angel to mix the incense. What's going to come before what's the fragrance that God is going to smell as all of our prayers come up before him? Oh, I love it. Anyway, the smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angels stood and had poured them out. Then the angel filled the incense burner with the fire from off the altar and it threw it down to earth. And thunder crashed, lightnings flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. What goes up must come down. Whatever you pray that goes up will come down. What goes up comes down. The angels mix with the incense and they take the prayers and then they throw back to earth the answers, and there is lightning and flashes of thunder and there's a terrible earthquake. Something happens. Something amazing is happening on the earth today. And I believe that there are going to be lightnings over your life, over your family. Lightnings, lightnings and lightnings. And thunder tells you where he's working. Even the animals know when there's thunder, the dogs are like, let's run away. Right? So don't be afraid when God starts to send his lightnings. I'll tell you what the lightnings are. Okay, the angels filled the incense and he threw them upon the earth. What comes up must come down. What's happening in your prayer time as a priest? As you come in and you come into the altar of incense. Are you mute? Oh, it never works. Filled with unbelief? Filled with questions, anxiety? Never happens. When you approach the throne and you come to the altar of incense and you're there and you intercede and you pray, what goes up? What are you sending up? What are you sending up? Our prayers are going up and the heavenly interventions, the lightnings are being thrown back down. And I want to speak that over your life. The lightnings of God are being thrown down. There's going to be interventions. They're going to strike. They're going to strike the mark for which God has. It says that in the scripture. Intercession releases God's brilliant light to strike the mark on the earth, directing God's power and his glory. And we see that in Proverbs 8, 1 to 6. Read it. It's about wisdom sitting there at the portals of society. You have all these portals of society and wisdom is calling. Come on, ask of me how to intervene in the earth. Ask me about your government. Ask me about this same-sex thing. Talk to me about it. Come to me. Come and speak to me. Intercede on behalf of your community. Intercede on behalf of the education. Look what's happening in our schools. They're teaching them things they shouldn't be teaching them. They're doing it. But you know what? If the priests are silent,
what's coming down? You need to pray. You need to intercede for your school, for your education, for the kings, for the leaders. Don't whinge. Don't stand outside and whinge. Oh, I don't like that person. Why are they there? No. That is not your role. As priests, your role is to intercede. Send it up so it can come down. Send it up. Get it up there. Get it. Get the angels working overtime. What if every single one of you here, and myself included, began to pray vigilantly, began to intercede and say, God, we need you. We need you in our schools. We need you in our education. We need you in the government. We need you in business. We need you in the family. We need you in the families. We need you in our relationships. We need you in every area, that we would intercede and say, oh God, come and strike the mark here. Come with your power. Come into medicine. Oh, why? You got all these educated people doing medicine and more people are dying. You know? Come on. If the wisdom of God is not allowed to be released through the portals, oh, you got to read Proverbs 8. Wisdom, she sits at the portals of our society, of our government, and she says, ask of me. Ask God to baptize our leaders with the spirit of wisdom. Ask God to baptize and release the spirit of counsel, of knowledge. Ask God. Ask God to intervene in your families. Don't give up. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your relationships. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on the church. Don't give up. Why? Because that is a sign that you are not praying. It is a sign that you have forgotten the power of sending it up to see God strike and give an answer. You need to be praying. You need the word of God. You need to declare the word over your circumstances. The word of God is like a lightning. We need to intercede. We need to see the mark hit, the target hit. We want to see the enemies of people, which are demons, defeated and held back. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. If God decrees it, hell cannot move and cannot do anything. We need to see. We need to see God do it quickly. How many prayers can we pray today? How many prayers? Because it's surely the word of God says, if it goes up, it's going to come down. If it goes up, it's going to come down. We want to see God shake the very kingdom of darkness and let it shiver away. Job, listen to this scripture. Write this down. He covers his hands with lightning and he commands it to strike the mark. Its noise declares his presence. The cattle also, concerning what is coming up. At this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place. Listen closely to the thunder of his voice, the rumblings that go out from his mouth. Under the whole heaven, he lets it loose and his lightnings to the ends of the earth. I want to see lightning. I want to see God move. I want to see God do something so amazing in our community. But you and I need, as priests, we must come to the altar of incense. And we must pray for our nation. We must pray for our leaders. We must pray for our community. We must pray for our families. We must pray for the economy that's gripped with greed. And ask wisdom that sits at the portal of government, that sits at the portal places, to release her wisdom to the people. Free of charge. Free of charge. I love it. Smoke and incense ascended up to God from the altar. The angels fill the incense burner. If you've seen any of those old Catholic, Orthodox, you see the priests, they come, they have a censer, and they take the coal from the fire, they put it in, and they put the incense, and they begin to swing the canters. How many have seen it? If you're not, I don't know where I've seen it, but I've seen it. But they swing the canters, and guess what? The fragrance, that is what we need to be doing. We need to get before God as priests and go, God, our nation, God, come to our schools, bring wisdom. I mean, you've got people writing curriculum that are going to destroy lives. Oh, God, bring wisdom to them. Save them from themselves.
save them. We're not there to curse. We're not there, but we're there to bless. But God, let your wisdom come upon these people. Let them see the error of their way. Let them come, not to the shadow. If you and I are believers and we live in the shadow, how disappointing that you and I live and we just have church and we sit there and we go through, oh, communion, so cute. Oh, you know, we're the light of the world. Oh, how nice. We go to the altar. Oh, what a beautiful altar. And we walk out of the presence of God. And there's nothing that's happened. Nothing went up. When you come to church, what's going up? Because something should be coming down. Something should be happening. The lightning. I'm going to finish. Our prayers are going up. There's a supernatural heavenly intervention. Lightnings are being thrown back down. We now have seen incense going up. Papua New Guinea needs God. This is a pagan country that it's destroying itself. You get a man who has a vision, a man who has a dream from God. I got to get rid of the witchcraft. I got to get rid of the cannibalism. I've got to get rid. It's not good for communities to have I got to get rid of these things. They're destroying the people. He begins to intercede. Now what does God do? Lightning, 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 lightning. It goes all around the world. 80 so many churches and companies. What happens, God, now? Lightning, lightning. Go, go to Papua New Guinea. Go, 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 go. Come on. That's how it works. You'll see God's strategy because people are praying. People are praying. You want to see a turnaround? You need to pray. You need to pray. Intercession releases God's brilliant light and it strikes the mark. Strikes the mark. The word strike the mark, where it says the lightning strikes, is the word pagar. It's intercession. When you intercede, God intervenes. When you intercede, God begins to get into line with it. And it also means that when you pray, you are painting a bullseye. God, this is what it is. I want it out there. Here's the bullseye. I want that. God, come. Send intervention in our school system. Intervention in our school system, Father. Let wisdom come. Let the portals over education open up. Let wisdom come to those in government. Bring new people in that are spirit-filled, that are God-loving, that are righteous governing. Lord, bring it, bring it. You paint the mark. That's intercession. Bullseye. What's your bullseye? You've got a piece of paper here. What's your bullseye? I want you to write right now. If you've got a pencil, pinch somebody's pencil. But this is the altar of incense. What is your prayer request? What are you praying for? What do you need? Job, breakthrough, finance, wisdom. And sometimes finance is not the problem. Wisdom is what you need. Write something down. I want you to put a bullseye on here. What is going to go up? It's going to come down. Mark it. Because I believe what God wants to do, and I've been sharing with a few, God wants to awaken us of our ministry of intercession of prayer. We are not praying corporately. We're not praying and understanding how intercession works. And so what we do, we give token prayers. But God is saying, no, no, no. I want you to understand the divine partnership of prayer. I want you to understand the power of you marking it down and bringing it to the Father. If you need a pen, just put your hand up. I want you to understand that God is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit, haven't you just come from, you know, the place of the fire? Filled with the Spirit, filled, eating from the bread of life, bread of life. You're already conditioned, your heart poised in the presence of God. The glory fills the house, and here you are, your position, and now you go into interceding. You wouldn't be going, oh God, help me, I'm not doing too well today.
You know, my husband hasn't made me breakfast in bed for about 3 days and I'm feeling really whingy. I don't know if I should leave him. He's not bringing me anything. What kind of prayers are you praying? Because your experience as a priest entering in that room, it's just like, what an invitation to the ministry of intercession. What an invitation we have as a church today to begin to intercede in the presence and the glory of our King. And we come and we partner. Oh, we don't even live in the shadow. We understand now the incredible place of privilege that as we begin to intercede, God and the angels, everything in heaven is ready to strike the mark. What has the prophetic declarations over our church been? And what happens when we stop joining in with the prophetic declaration? We need to tune in, receive from the Holy Spirit, what am I interceding for? On behalf of the people, on behalf of the church, on behalf of the leaders, what are we interceding for? Is it selfish? No, we represent the people before God. Selfless. Intercession releases God's brilliant lightnings to strike the mark in the earth, directing God's glory and power to see the church, our families, our city, our community impacted with supernatural intervention. Will you step into a revival of the prophetic intercessory prayer ministry? And I believe it's a call on our church. I think we've had communion. We've done worship really well. We've had challenges, but I believe that now God wants our face before Him and begin to cry out and intercede that we would see the desire of Jesus fulfilled. What are you writing down? What are you daring to believe God for? What are we going to join and agree on? Can I ask the worship team to come up? My clock, my watch says it's 10 past 11. It's frozen in time. This is a God moment. This is a God moment. We're frozen in time. Intercession. What are you praying for? What are you praying for? Wouldn't it be amazing? Heaven wakes up tomorrow morning, looks down, and there's like 100 bullseyes all over the western suburbs of Melbourne. Like, pick me, come here, move down here, come lightning, come. Move in this situation. And all heaven has to get really busy and do overtime. Because we dared to believe that we are priests unto the Lord and we have a ministry of intercession, that what goes up must come down. What are you praying for? Shalamari sarabatatara. I know there's a few looking for employment or business opportunities. If you can stand up in this room, I've had this on my heart all week. To do with business, work, or you want a new job, you know you need to move. Because all of us here, we're going to join and we're going to pray. We're going to pray right now. You need prayer specifically for work related issue. I need you to stand. Maybe you're being really persecuted at work. I need you to stand. You have absolute conflict at work. You need an intervention. So on your list, you've got Rocky. You have Sharon on your list now. Matt. Because you hear it, you're representing people. You know that on your list now, you've just added three very crucial intercessory prayers because we
are here for them, not just for us. Yeah? I want you to stand. We're going to gather people around these guys. Come down. Come out of your seat. Come down the front. We're going to breathe. Believe for a breakthrough for the employment. In the middle there, for Sharon. Position, position, position. Matt, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Harama shalamanda. Come on, speak in tongue. Just build yourself up. Come on, let's join together. Let's do our priestly duty and responsibility. In the name of Jesus, we speak, Lord, Father, over each one, Rocky and Sharon and Matt. Father, for the divine order of the Holy Spirit to be done. Let heaven invade earth. Let there be a repositioning, a positioning, Lord God. And we pray for a fast tracking in the name of Jesus. Father, for them to be salt and light wherever they're working right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, God, for strategies and doors to open. Let the wisdom, the portal over them. Father, let wisdom flow, God. Not anxiety, not self be promoted, but by the miracle working of the lightning of God, let it be over their life, Father, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for effective positioning. Father, instrumental positioning, Father, in the name of it. And I come against every lie of the enemy that has tried to bring condemnation and worry and issues of stress and pressure in the name of Jesus. And we speak favor in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would turn around these circumstances around their life. Father, bring wealth, Father, where there's been no work for such a long time, where we pray and release finance into these situations, Lord. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, we release favor and finance and positioning over them. Lord, we are sending it up now. Speak in the tongues right now. Just send your prayer up right now. Send your prayer up for them. What are you sensing in the Holy Spirit? Just release it up now. Let it go up. Let it go up. Oh, rasala bashele lobo sorono. Atarasokora bashele masikora manande. Asyatora endera bakora. Indera bakoshele andarabada. Ishananda karanda. Ishperetsandoro udeda. I take authority over every negative word and I bring it down in Jesus' name. I cancel every negative critical word. I cancel it out. I cancel the agreements with negativity in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, divine ordering, divine positioning, divine doors opening in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Let's just give the Lord a hand now. Let's just worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know you've written out your prayer requests. Why don't you do something radical? Just give it to somebody. Ask them to join with you in prayer. Go find somebody and give this prayer and say, partner with me. I want to see a breakthrough. Find somebody. Come on, right across this room. Find somebody. Where's your prayer request? Could be for healing, provision. Find somebody. Share. Go and ask somebody for a breakthrough. Pray together. Shift it. Shift, shift, shift.
Amazing. Come on, let's thank Pastor Silva for a great word. Parents, you need to go pick up your children. Next week is going to be amazing.